Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. We're going to be talking today about the energy of belief, and my guest today is Mary Seiss. Mary, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Donna. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
I was really fascinated with your book, The Energy of Belief, because I had an encounter with a woman at an airport. You know how sometimes you meet people when you are in a different place, plane flights are delayed, and all of a sudden you strike up a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this lady was very, very interesting because she told me that she had totally turned her life around with a tapping method.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went through your book, I said, son of a gun, look at what's in front of me here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd had this delightful chat with this lady. In fact, we've had the opportunity to interact since then. Just a charming woman, and she now is teaching this.
Yes.
And when I went through your book, I found that, one, not only are you an author, but you have been involved as the president of the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I never even knew an organization like that even existed.
You and most of the world.
Right. And then your associate, Sheila Bender, she also has, my goodness, been involved with psychology and has been involved with the thought field therapy, energy psychology. I mean, she's got an incredible background herself.
Yes, she does.
How did the two of you ever get together? I know the gals are born to gab, but you really put something special together in this book. How did you get to know each other?
Well, we actually first met when we were both doing a trauma processing technique called EMDR, which is an eye movement technique. And it helps both of us. We're therapists. She's from New Jersey. I'm from Albany, New York. And that was in the early 90s, maybe the mid 90s. And it's an eye movement therapy that is awesome. It's phenomenal to help process PTSD and trauma and anxiety. It's a great technique.
Now, neuro-linguistic programming, is it something that's an offshoot from that?
No, not at all. It's developed by Francine Shapiro, and it's not considered energy psychology, so I don't want to mix it, but it's a wonderful trauma processing technique where you have the client, you know, go back, or you can use it for beliefs also, and you have them locate in the body where the problem is, and then you move their eyes back and forth, and images come up, and it's just a wonderful trauma processing technique. And Sheila was trained in that, and I was learning that, and she actually came up to Albany to do a training that I had organized, and she came with some other people. So that's actually how we first met. But like most therapists who are doing and working with trauma, we're always looking for something that will help trauma patients, and I had a bunch of multiply traumatized patients that were really fragmented and really, they had really been severely traumatized in their childhood. And EMDR can sometimes cause a lot of reliving of the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be a rough ride. So I pray a lot. So I'm always praying up for an easier way to get there. And that's when, from there, from EMDR, I learned energy psychology. And I found that if we tapped, at that point I was doing tapping, I had trained with Roger Callahan, that if I tapped on the meridians and did some eye movements, that I could process the trauma in the same way that I did with this EMDR technique and a much gentler ride. Plus, I could teach it to my clients for them to use at home. And to me, between those two things, that's why I still do EMDR. I love it. It's a wonderful technique. But that's where I really became interested in energy psychology, especially for healing PTSD.
All of us, at one time or another, give ourselves pep talks, we do affirmations, we go to classes, we are involved in this. It's think positive, don't think negative. Yet, we will continue maybe a self-sabotaging patterning.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, I wish I knew the exact reason why it is. There's many theories about why it is, but personally, my point of view is that, and from other scientists too, so it's not just my point of view, and also I base much of my point of view on my clinical experience and working with thousands of clients. So, and what I find is that most of us, our beliefs are in by the time we're 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really important for the listeners to understand. Stop beating up about yourself. By the age of 8, you've figured out whether or not you believe the world is a safe place to be in, whether you're smart, whether you're a dork, whether you're whatever, whether
mm-hmm.
men are going to... If your dad leaves when you're 3 or dies, you don't believe men will stick around for you. It just is. And so then we go through life playing out our beliefs because we're powerful creators. I mean, I see the work that you're doing in terms of bringing higher consciousness in. And we are incredibly powerful creators. So you can create. You create with your beliefs. Thankfully, you don't create very much with your thoughts because, you know, we've all had the thought, I'm going to kill that kid of mine, you know, and poof, they're not gone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we can change our thoughts. But it's more with your beliefs, with this energy of what you believe. So most of our beliefs are in by 8. There's different theories as to why, but one of the most interesting ones, although this is not in the book, is that under the age of 8, our brain waves are primarily in what's called a theta brainwave state, which is a very hypnotizable state.
Mm-hmm.
So like a hypnotherapist can put you in a theta state and put a dime on you and tell you it's a hot coal and you'll actually blister.
Mm-hmm.
When you're under seven really, you're mostly in that state, which is why kids have imaginary friends, they're more right hemisphered. And so things that are said to you under the age of 7 or 8 in this trancey kind of a state go in almost like a computer programming. It's like somebody's programming your hard drive, you see. The other way they get in is through trauma, you know,
mm-hmm.
like whether or not if I get robbed by a man with red hair, every other red hair man, my brain is going to fire, the amygdala is going to fire and say, get out of there, get out of there, and it'll ask questions later about whether or not the man is safe. And so, but I'll have beliefs about it, and frequently on a very unconscious, like below my level of awareness. So that's how the beliefs get in. So the affirmations works in the higher parts of the brain, like your smart, you know, your
mm-hmm.
neocortex area, your thinking brain. But that's not the part of the brain that's really in trouble. It's more your limbic region that's having a reaction, so to speak, and that really believes it. Like when something feels to be true, even though you know it's not true, that you want to get in the feeling centers of the brain, and that's where these eye movement kinds of therapies, using the energy systems of the body, therapies. Seem to be able to shift the energy around a belief, which frees it up, which helps you to be more logical and rational and not stuck in six-year-old thinking.
You have two terms in your mm-hmm. book, vitalists and mechanists.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by those two terms?
Okay, well, that's really, Sheila knows this much better than I do, but Sheila had researched about how there was a time when life energy, this like qi that they talk about in Chinese medicine or prana that they might, or qi, it's talked about in your state of grace. There was a time in medicine where that was valued, and the vitalists really valued it. And then the mechanists, they thought, well, if you can't see it or measure it or it's not mechanical, then it wasn't of value. And so at one point, we talk about in the book, there was this split in terms of, you know, does energy mean anything? And some of it was politics. Sheila knows it really well, the ins and outs of that. And that was part of the split. And where energy, this idea of energy or that, you know, something that animates the physical body was of any importance in medicine or should be even considered in medicine, you know. I mean, in Western medicine, they believe you have, you know, a life force, but, you know, if you have it, you're alive. If you don't, you're dead. That's about as much as they
mm-hmm.
have given any credence to it.
Mm-hmm.
But other places have, more Eastern, we would think, thought, have always considered life energy, this energy to be coursing through your body, and that by utilizing it, you could create health.
That brings up a very good point, because in today's world, there's very common terminology.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an energy field around you. People
mm-hmm.
will talk about auras, the
mm-hmm.
color emanations that vibrate from a person's body.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody thought that that was something that was viable. Today, there are medical diagnoses being made
mm-hmm.
because of colorations done by sophisticated technology, and it's becoming more and more refined.
Mm-hmm.
Reading various energy frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people in the physical sciences will say, well, that's ridiculous to even make the comparison, but we are dealing with frequencies. Now, when it comes
mm-hmm.
to belief systems,
mm-hmm.
they also create frequencies.
Sure.
And if someone does not believe that, you encounter somebody that is so angry that when they walk through a room, people will literally move
mm-hmm.
just to get out of the way. They don't have to say a word.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because I experienced that when I was 16 years old, and that taught me a lesson that was phenomenal,
mm-hmm.
that the thought, your belief system, combined together as a team, can work for good or it can work for bad,
mm-hmm.
or it could be totally self-destructive,
mm-hmm.
you know, however it's applied. Now, you mentioned a psychologist, Fred Gallo.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Fred Gallo, and why was he significant to you?
Well, Fred Gallo is the one who coined the term energy psychology, and he's written quite a few books in the energy psychology field. The one who developed thought field therapy was a man named Roger Callahan. He's really probably, you know, the grandfather of him and Roger and a few others. But Roger developed this tapping on meridians and using eye movements. Fred studied with Roger, and then Fred wrote about his studies. Fred is also a PhD psychologist, as is Roger, and wrote, coined the word energy psychology, and then brought a lot of the information together that was out there in the energy psychology field. So he really made quite a contribution to the field of energy psychology. He actually wrote the book. He coined the term energy psychology, and by energy psychology we mean anyone who uses energy for a psychological problem. So while our tapping or touch and breathe, we use touch and breathe instead of tapping. We touch the meridian points and we breathe in the book Energy of Belief. But either tapping or using breath on a meridian, if I'm working on a psychological problem, well, it will work for pain or other things. As a social worker, I'm not, you know, technically allowed to do that, or I'm practicing medicine without a license. So it gets testy, but there is a mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm,
and
absolutely.
So we use it. The client comes in, they have a psychological problem. Maybe they have some anxiety or depression or guilt they just can't seem to shake, or some shame or whatever. We use the energy system, whether it's a meridian, sometimes we use chakras. So those are the power centers in the body that they use in Indian, Hindu, more of an Indian Hindu tradition. Any one of the systems of the body in order to help somebody with a psychological problem. So Fred's a little more, although he does a lot of, where he wrote a book, Energy Tapping and Energy Tapping for Trauma. He's written some great books. So he's really helped the field move along.
Let's talk about TAB.
Mm-hmm.
TAB, touch and belief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a system that has been worked with, and this lady that I was mentioning earlier, I'll call her Sue just to
sure.
put a name out there. Sue was telling me how much this enabled her to shift her thinking when it came to weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had such severe compulsions when it came to food.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to go on any strict anything.
Mm-hmm.
She said she had tried just about every diet in the world, and this had really assisted her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said every once in a while she'd find that she was going back into certain patterns, and she happened to go to a class on this, and she said, I've got to get past desiring sweet things. And
mm-hmm.
she used this method, and she said it worked.
Mm-hmm. It works for any addiction. That's what's so exciting about it. But the addiction, whether it's a food addiction or alcohol or anything like that, the addiction really isn't the problem. The problem is, what is going on with you that you're using the addiction to self-soothe? Okay, so whether it's, your anger's coming up and you're stuffing it down with Oreos, or you're lighting a cigarette, or your shame's coming up, or your anxiety, or whatever. There's usually an emotion that's coming up, and then instead of allowing yourself to feel it and release the origins of it, you go and do your addiction. Okay? So with addictions, frequently what people have to do is you can use the method, either the touch and breathe method or the tapping method. It doesn't matter. There's several energy psychology methods. In fact, Kaiser Permanente just did a study on one of our energy psychology methods called Tapas acupressure technique, and they showed that it was superior to any other one of the other things they evaluated it against in terms of people being able to let go of the weight and then to keep it off.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing more studies on that. That's really exciting and promising. But the touch and breathe method will do it, tapping will do it, any of the things will do it. But what a person will do when you're working on it for an addiction is begin to notice every time they find their head in the refrigerator when they really aren't hungry. And then use several rounds of, for me, I would use the touch and breathe these days, on releasing some of the roots and origins of why I need to eat right now, or, you know. And the other thing they can do is do several rounds of it. And I'm telling you, the rounds, if you watch, if you did it in the book or tried it, take all of about 3 minutes. I mean, it's not long at all.
Okay, well, give us an example, because this is something that my mind questions. Gee, do we need to have somebody that is sitting with us? Do we need to make a tape so that we have the step-by-step? I mean, what is it that you do?
Okay, well, a good example, give me something. You got something you want to shift?
Oh, I'd love to be able to shift.
Do you have an issue? You didn't get rid of them all yet, did you?
Yeah, when I'm under stress, overeating.
Okay, all right.
Not accepting when my stomach's full. Maybe that's a good way to put it.
Okay, so I don't accept when my stomach's full. So what's your belief about if my stomach... there's a lot of beliefs that cause the overeating. So what will happen is we'll take this one down. If that's the only one you have, you'll be fine. But most of us have more than one. So you got to keep doing it with an addiction, probably for a couple of weeks, and then it's much easier, much easier, okay? So when you find yourself with your head in the refrigerator or whatever you do, that thing you do, just think of what kind of thing triggers you're wanting to eat.
Usually it's a craving for something sweet.
Okay, so think about yourself craving something sweet. I know what we can do. Let's do it on the elaters that are in the thought field. That's a really cool thing we have in our book that really has not been written about. John Diepold came up with that term. All right, so let's do this for you. On a scale of 0 to 10, think about those sweets and tell me how much you just love them.
Oh, I'd say about a 6.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Notice in your body where that enjoyment comes, where that elation is.
Probably in the mouth.
Okay, like you can almost feel your mouth water for it. What kind of sweets do you really love?
It depends. Yeah, sometimes I like something that's extremely, extremely sweet.
Okay, so give
me
an example.
Other times, I don't.
All right, so just give me an example of one thing that really gets you.
One thing that really gets me. Orange marmalade.
All right, so just imagine orange marmalade. And on a scale of 0 to 10, how much you just love that stuff.
About a 5-6.
5-6. Okay, good. Notice where your body holds it. You said it's in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and like 5-6, I got to have it. Okay, so now rub your, hopefully you've watched the book, and we're going to have to do it a little fast for your listeners, but you do it a little bit more slowly when you're doing it. I'm just going to do it fast with you, and there's video of all these spots on the website, energyofbelief.com.
Okay? Oh, there's a video. Good
deal. Yeah, a video of me doing...
Folks. Yeah, so we're just going to give you a quick sample.
Yeah, we're just going to give you a quick sample.
Right.
And then we can help Donna, all right?
Yeah.
So you rub above your heart, cross your hands above one, almost like you're saying a Pledge of Allegiance, and rub that area there.
Okay.
And the first thing is you're going to say an acceptance statement. So I accept myself, even though I just love orange marmalade.
Okay.
So you say that 3 times. So you say, I accept myself, even though I love it. So you're really just accepting that. Just for some reason, your mind has wired orange marmalade and joy. It's just like, woohoo, you know, like relief, like I'm going to get a break.
Mm-hmm.
All right. then the side of your hand, in the book, sometimes they call it, it's by like a karate chop spot, some people call it, but it's really the side of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just touch that spot, and we're going to set an intention for you.
Okay.
So the affirmation kind of says, okay, here I am. The intention says where I want to go. So for you, it would be something like, I'm choosing to release the excitement about orange marmalade. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have it. It doesn't mean you won't like it. But we just want to take the charge out of it. So
okay,
that you can take it or leave it if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, so I'm choosing to release the excitement around orange marmalade.
All right.
All the roots and origins of it and all that it means and does to me. And then take a breath. So that's like your affirmation statement. We would say that three times. We're going to go a little... I know we don't have too much time, so we're going to have to speed through it a little bit. But you'd say that three times. Now you're going to touch the meridian point. So the eyebrow, and each point corresponds with a different meridian. That's like bladder meridian.
Mm-hmm.
It has a different emotion to it, but we obviously can't get into that. But touch the eyebrow and just take a gentle breath in and out. You know your intentions. You want to just let go of the charge. The side of your eyes at your temple. Just
mm-hmm.
a breath, full breath in and out. Very gently and very lovingly to yourself. The main reason you want to be lovingly is because you can't heal anything if you're annoyed with yourself, okay? So it's wrong frequency for healing.
Very good point.
Exactly. Under your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Then under your nose, just breathe as you're thinking about that love of orange marmalade. Under your lip, your lower lip.
Mm-hmm.
Nice breath. 4 inches under your arm. For women, it's kind of where your bra strap is. Under your chest. By where the rib is, and again, on energyofbelief.com is all these pictures, and there's me going through it with you. Put your hand out straight, like to shake somebody's hand, and touch the top of your thumb by the nail bed, like on the side of the hand, and
mm-hmm.
take a breath. Your first finger, take a breath. Your next finger, take a breath. And as I said, I'm going a little fast through it, but the side of your little finger, a breath. The back of your hand between your ring finger and your pinky. Take a breath. The side of your hand, that karate chop type spot.
Mm-hmm.
Take a breath. And then fingers up to the collarbone, like about an inch down from the middle and an inch over on either side. And take a breath. So those are the meridian points. Now you're going to put two fingers on the back of your hand and put your hand on your collarbone spot. And again, there's pictures on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And take a breath. And now we're going to move your eyes around, which will light up the brain. So close your eyes and open them.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping your head straight, you're going to look down to the right, then down to the left. Then roll your eyes all the way around the room one way, all the way around the room the opposite way. You hum a tune. That's more right hemisphere. We're trying to put you in the right hemisphere. So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then you count to five. One, two, three, four, five.
Mm-hmm.
That puts you in your left hemisphere. And then you hum again. So all that does is it starts getting the brain to fire a little bit differently and kind of release some of this. So now we're going to go back to the meridians. So your eyebrows,
mm-hmm.
side of your eye, under your eye, under your nose, and your lip, under your arm about 4 inches, under your chest, and your thumb, your first finger, next one, little one, the back of your hand, and the side of your hand, and back up to your collarbone. Now you think about orange marmalade again, and on a scale of 0 to 10, did it get worse, did it get more exciting, did it get less exciting, or did it stay the same?
Blah.
Pardon me?
Blah.
Blah. So now it's like blah.
Blah.
Like you can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Right. See? So that's how you do it. So say you were working on, that's how to work on a later in the thought field. You could also work on that anxiety you get, you know, that feeling you get before your head's in the refrigerator or
mm-hmm.
your fingers are in the orange marmalade jar. You could work on it from either angle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that every time you have the urge, it takes about 3 weeks. And you just start, for one, riding smoother. You just are less stressed out about stuff in general. And the addiction will come down and down. So it's a great adjunct for people who are struggling with alcohol, drugs, anything. It just, how does your body feel?
Very comfortable.
Doesn't it feel calm?
Mm-hmm. Very calm.
Right. That's what it does. You take a thought, and then you use the meridian system to to get the roots and origins of why this is distressing your body so you can return to the calmness of who you really are.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting how there's the incorporation of working with the meridians in the body,
mm-hmm.
and that you must consciously be present with what you're doing.
Yes.
And that, in turn, allows a shift. At least mm-hmm. that's what I noticed.
That's what I agree with you. Now, a lot of people don't know that. They'll do the tapping or whatever, and they'll say it doesn't work. That's why in our book, In Energy of Belief, because Sheila and I have been therapists for a long time, we know where it's working and where it's not working. Most of the time, we've found that if people aren't in their body, it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why one of our steps is to say, notice where the body holds it, because we want to make sure you're in there.
Right.
So you can't ship something if you're nobody's home. So
now, in the book, you also have photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that on your website, which is energyofbelief.com, people can go in and actually see a video and go through the whole process
exactly.
with you mm-hmm. right there on the website, which I think is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the basic touch and belief
and breathe.
You know, process.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
you go into a couple of other things. And that's applied kinesiology.
Mm-hmm.
You also have energy feedback system techniques,
mm-hmm.
which I was aware of a couple of them. You have a glide method. You have the one where you make your thumb and forefinger into a circle on each
mm-hmm.
hand, and you do a yes or no type of process,
mm-hmm.
which is really fascinating. So you cover so many different levels, and at the same time, showing through both the photography and through the step-by-step processes in the book how this can make a difference. And you have a lot of stories about different people
right.
and their various situations and what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this. How can someone, if they were interested in pursuing this to a greater degree,
mm-hmm.
how would they find out about maybe some people that would be able to train, or someone could go and get some classes on this somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's several ways. If you go on the ASEP website, which is energypsych.org, you can find a therapist who is doing some of these energy psychology techniques in your state. There's also a certification program through ASEP. And then I do training. Sheila does trainings. There's, you know, my trainings are in Albany. I have one in September, if anybody's interested, the weekend of the 20th. But if you're a therapist and you really want to use it with your clients, then you really should get trained, because then you can really use this stuff to its optimal potential.
Mm-hmm.
Though people want to use it for themselves or their children or friends and family, whatever, you can learn it from a book or, anybody can learn it from the book or online. The other caveat I would say is that if you've had physical damage to your body, so you were, you know, any kind of physical abuse, any type of car accidents, you know, any sexual trauma, you do that work with a therapist so that, you know, you really have somebody there holding space for you. Give yourself that gift of doing that work with somebody else. But pretty much anything else, if the body has not been hurt, you're pretty safe to work on your own. I just think because I've worked with so many trauma survivors, and it's so great to have somebody there going through the technique
mm-hmm.
with you and holding space.
I think there's a supportive factor as well. Like if you were
yes.
able to go into a class, reading the book gives you a
mm-hmm.
heads up on
right.
whether or not you'd be interested
mm-hmm.
interested in it. But I think also when you are with other people
mm-hmm.
and there is that interaction, I think the supporting factor of just being aware that you're not all by yourself
right.
and whether,
mm-hmm.
in my mind's view, it's been
mm-hmm.
a physical trauma of some kind or anything else,
mm-hmm.
it's just knowing that there are people there that are going through their own challenges, and some of them
right.
may seem relatively frivolous, and others may seem extremely intense. But it gives you
mm-hmm.
an idea that there's a lot going on
mm-hmm.
in the way we live our lives because of our belief system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And sometimes
you can change any belief you have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true.
And bring them to what, I mean, you weren't born with them. You usually got them when you went home, so from
mm-hmm.
hospital. So I say that's why babies cry. They're like, oh, my God, what was I thinking? But
absolutely.
When you go home, you get them. And so any belief can be changed because it's not who you are. It's not the truth of who you are. So
Mary
give
Seiss.
Yourself the gift.
Yes, Mary Seiss has been my guest today. I'm sorry, Mary, we're just about out of time. The Energy of Belief, Psychology's Power Tools to Focus Intention and Release Blocking Beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you're not even able to figure it out logically, don't worry, because there's a way that you'd be able to do something with it. So the Energy of Belief, go to their website, energyofbelief.com. You've got a video you can watch as well. Mary, it's been a delight. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It has been an interesting half hour, and we've got more good things to come up and share with you. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. Don't forget, energyofbelief.com, Mary Seiss, and Sheila Sidney Bender. We will be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. If you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here are the telephone numbers to call into. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, if you're a first-time listener, you just have to call in and when you feel like it during the next half hour. And then all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And, of course, I'd love to know where you're calling from. And then after that, just let me do what I do best, and that is become an information resource for you, the listener. And I'll give you my insights. And after that, you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Again, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Yesterday, I started a story about Steve Jobs, who was the gentleman in charge of Apple. Yes, he and his associate started it in his parents' garage when he was 20 years old. And I wasn't able to finish the story. So what I want to do, I think, is repeat the beginning of it, and just in case there are some of you that didn't hear the show yesterday, well, it's his story as he shared it at Stanford University. And this was in the year 2005. This is a man who, when he found what he loved to do early in life, and he discovered, well, along with his buddy, what he wanted to really make happen, that the two of them worked hard, and in 10 years, Apple had grown from just the two of them working in this makeshift environment into a $2 billion company with over 4,000 employees. Now, they had just released their finest creation, the Macintosh computer, a year earlier, and he had just turned 30. And if those of you that were listening yesterday remember, he got fired. Now, how can you get fired from a company that you've started? Well, first you have to be public. Then Apple grew. They hired somebody whom he thought was very talented to run the company with him. And for the first year or so, it was just peachy keen. Then the visions of the future began to go in different directions. Person they hired and what they wanted to do, two different animals. They had a falling out. Well, with this major happening, this major falling out, the board of directors sided with the person that they hired. So at 30 years of age, the board of directors dumped him out, and it was a very, very public happening. What had been the focus of his entire adult life was gone, and he was totally devastated. I'm sure some of you will have a strong sense of association with that kind of an experience. Now, what he didn't realize, and it took him a few months to get through it, Steve said that he felt he had let the previous generations of entrepreneurs down. He had dropped his own baton as it had been passed to him. So what he did, he met with David Packard and Bob Noyce and tried to apologize for messing things up so badly. He said, in his own eyes, he was a very public failure, and he really just wanted to run away. That's a real feeling, isn't it? Just wanting to run. However, as days passed, months, certain things began to dawn on him. He still loved what he did. What he finally realized is that what happened at Apple hadn't really changed him at all. He had been rejected. He had been thrown out of the very environment that he had enthusiastically created with a lot of love, a lot of energy, and a lot of passion. So he made a decision. He was going to start over. Now, he didn't see it then. Steve said, it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The weight, the heaviness of being on stage all the time, of being the successful multimillionaire, was replaced by the light, you know, the lightness of starting all over again. There were no rules. There was nobody telling him what to do. He didn't have to go for interviews. He didn't have to deal with 4,000 employees. He was in a whole new environment. He said it made him realize that he could be totally creative. This was his ball game. It was up to him to choose what playing field he was going to work with and to play on and what kind of a team he wanted to put together. So during the following 5 years, he started a company named Next, another company named Pixar, and he fell in love with a woman who would become his wife. Pixar went on to create the world's first computer animated feature film, which all of us are familiar with, Toy Story, and is now the most successful animation studio in the world. In a remarkable turn of events, Apple bought his company Next. Steve ended up going back into Apple, and the technology that was developed at Next is at the heart of Apple's current renaissance. He and his wife, Lorraine, have a wonderful family. And he said, none of this, I'm almost positive, none of this would have ever happened if I had not been fired. Now, it wasn't pleasant. It was nasty, nasty medicine to swallow. But this patient needed it. And he said, sometimes life hits you in the head with a brick. Don't lose faith. I'm convinced that the only thing that kept me going was that I loved what I did. You've got to find what you love. And that's as true for your work as it is for your lovers. Your work, Steve says, is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. And if you haven't found it yet, keep on looking. And by the way, Steve adds these other words, don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it. And like any great relationship, it just gets better and better as the years roll on. So keep looking until you find it. Don't settle. Now again, this was part of a talk that Steve Jobs gave as his second story of his commencement address at Stanford University on June 12, 2005. And I want to thank Bob for sending it to me because it's just really, I think, a very inspiring story. Life does hit us in the head with a brick periodically, and it doesn't feel good. We have our miseries, and sometimes we don't even want to be talking to anybody. It's like when we get hit with that, everything shuts down. I know of a man that was in such a severe depression regarding the fact that he had been booted out of his company. It affected him for almost 15 years. And he was busy with other things. He ended up going back to work and doing all kinds of things. But it just absolutely wore him down. It affected his family. It affected his interactions with people. It just was really hard. And finally, one day, he had to acknowledge that he was at the base cause of all of this distortion that he was creating in his mind. He was hanging on to his past too much and in his pity pot too much. Finally, he let it go, and his life really started to move. Maybe it'll take you a day. Might take you 5 minutes to get over something. Maybe it takes you longer than that. The issue is to remember that you are the one that is in charge of your mind. External circumstances you may not have control over. But by golly, how you react to them, you do. And sometimes it takes us a while to get clarity. But I think sometimes we get kicked in the teeth because we're not paying attention anyway. And then we have to have a reminder. Goodness knows it's happened to me. But if you can stop being the intense critic of yourself and look at it and ask yourself the question, is it going to make any difference 100 years from now? No. Nobody's really going to care. But what is important is that you pull yourself around, you make a shift, and you move on. Making mistakes, having life go into the toilet periodically, it happens. Nobody is exempt from the realities of life. Period. Nobody. However, if you can use it as leverage, you will lift yourself up and out of what may seem to be a bottomless pit. I think of my guest today, talking about dealing with belief systems, using your own energy to be able to make a shift. Wow, that's a powerful thing to do. And that's why it's so important for us to be open to learning, be willing to recognize that we can't possibly know it all, and that sometimes you may even need some help. Hey, is that a big surprise? I mean, all of us need help at one time or another. I go to the gas station. If I want to get air in the pump, I may be able to push the button, but there's a gal on the inside of the station. She can make it work a lot longer for me, and I really like that. But I have to ask her help to be able to get that done. Now, that sounds like a childish statement, perhaps, talking about tires. But the tires can't inflate themselves. I have to be able to do it, or someone has to be able to do it, and I have to use a mechanism to be able to put the air in those tires. And that's the way life is in many instances. We have to go to whatever source is available to us so we can give ourselves fresh air, fresh thinking, and then we get on with it. We're going to have a better ride in life when we do that. Good point, I think. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be coming back in just a moment. Don't forget, telephone lines are open. If you'd like to chat with me, 877-8765-227, 888-815. 9756 if you're Canadian, or 530-876-3222. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, Canadian. 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about animals, Random Acts of Kindness by Stephanie Lalande. This is for animals. That's right. Animals are thinking, feeling creatures, and many times they do surprising things. And we're going to be talking with Stephanie and find out about some of those unique stories. Then on Thursday, one of my special people, Teresa Tapp, we're going to be talking about fitness and how you can do things for yourself. And believe me, I have been using her exercise system for 6 months, and I am amazed at how it is toning up my body. And I'm not that religious about it, but it works. It is absolutely wonderful. So we're going to be talking about things that you can do to help yourself stay fit and to feel fabulous. This is all very important. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about the year 2013. I was at a meeting this past weekend, and I mentioned that I was going to have a guest talking about that year. They said, what's the big deal about 2013? I said, well, there's a Mayan calendar that had a lot of attention given to it because that was the last year, and they were predicting or making assessments from the interpretation of what they had in front of them regarding this Mayan calendar, that this was a year of significant change. So we're going to find out what Marie Jones has to say about it. Also coming up after that is Haunted Spaces, Sacred Places. That's right. We're going to be traveling around the world with Brian Halton and go to places that are going to be of tremendous interest. And they are places that have been denoted in historical societies as well as among many different cultures as, again, sacred places. Innovation Corrupted, Malcolm Salter is going to be my guest. We are going to be talking about Enron. That is going to be a subject matter that I think you'll find very interesting, and the research and details that he's going to be sharing with us. Wind power, Christopher Gillis. This is something all of us are familiar with to a degree. Well, Christopher is going to take us to another level, giving us an education about how it is advancing. The Nonverbal Advantage, Carol Kinsey Goleman. We're going to be talking about body language. Can you read what somebody is thinking by the way that they hold their body? Maybe and maybe not. And then we've just got so many other good things, and all of this is going to be, we're going to have some wonderful guests coming up, as we always do on the Donna Sebo Show. And by the way, if you have something special like a recipe or a story that you would like to share, then just send it along to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And I'll tell you what, if whenever I'm able to do it, then I will be using that information to share with you. But I thought I would share a recipe with you right now. It's a gazpacho chicken salad. And then also there's a ramen noodle salad. I've been trying to figure out which one I wanted to share with you. But why don't I share the gazpacho chicken salad with you today? So get that pad of paper and pen, and when we come back, then if we have the time, I'll be sharing it with you. Because this is the time of the year, you don't want a lot of heavy foods. You want foods that are light, but yet are going to be nourishing the body at the same time and taste good. And you don't have to have a lot of calories to taste good. So this is a salad that I know you'll really, really like. Meanwhile, I wanted to talk to you for a moment about our sense of change, and actually it's more than a sense of change. We've entered an era where we wonder how we're going to keep our privacy. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely something that we all have to be very thoughtful about. And every day, more and more information is coming to our attention about state-of-the-art technology that one time we thought was just for the spies of the world. Well, it's being implemented on so many different levels that when people start to really talking about it, it makes them very uncomfortable. It feels like Big Brother is right here, right now. Now, there is something about de-Googling yourself, and this is some information that I came across, and I thought it would share it with you. And there is a picture in front of me how Google Earth obscures the vice president's home at the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. Now, this is what UCSB geography professor Keith Clark said. The private citizens are exposed. You do not have exclusive rights to your property from the street or from above. Anybody who wants can take a photograph of your house. Many groups are doing exactly that. So, with Google Earth, where they can zoom in on just about anything, how in the world can you keep from being infiltrated by this? Well, according to Keith, what you could do, you could choose to live someplace that people don't usually want to see in high resolution, like a rural or a sparsely populated area that's far from the city, international borders, and major points of interest. You could live underground in a subway tunnel or a cave, or you could live under an intense canopy of trees. To avoid having video images of your house popping up on Google Street View, meanwhile, the best protection could be surrounding your property with a very high fence. Now, what Keith says is your house is not the only thing that can show up online. Street View captures full-face shots of private citizens who happen to amble into the field of vision of its, as he describes it, voracious video cameras. So, if you want to keep your face out of a database, stay alert. If you happen to see the telltale mounted video cam of Google Street View, by the way, it can be atop any kind of vehicle from a subcompact to a minivan, shield yourself with a sweatshirt hood, a newspaper, or even your hands. This is something that is very real in our world today. So it is a good question to keep in mind. Privacy has always been something we've treasured. With technology as they have it today, watch with the Olympics. Look at how they can pick up on anybody's conversation anywhere in the audience. This is something that can be done anywhere, at any time, in any place in the world. I wonder what your comments would be on that. Also, how could we make a change so that that violation of privacy would be something that could be corrected? It's a very interesting picture. It is one, it's a big question, and it's one I wonder if maybe you have an answer to. I'd love to hear it if you do. Gazpacho chicken salad, here we go. Got that pad of paper and pen handy? Here we have it. It's sweet, simple, and easy. All you need is a third of a cup of salsa, a quarter of a cup of bottled red wine vinaigrette, a fourth of a cup of bottled red wine vinaigrette. You need 2 cups of sliced, boneless, skinless cooked chicken. Rotisserie chicken is wonderful for this. Then you need 2 tomatoes cut into wedges, 1 cucumber. I'd suggest you peel that cucumber, cutting it into 1-inch pieces. You need about a cup and a half of that, 1/2 cup of thinly sliced red onion, 1/2 cup of thinly sliced red onion. If you don't like onions, leave them out. 1 avocado, ripe, of course, peeled, pitted, and sliced, and then 4 cups of torn romaine lettuce. That's about 4 ounces. And about 1/2 cup of packaged croutons, if you like. This is how simple it is. You take a small bowl, put your salsa and vinaigrette together, put it on the side. Take the cubed chicken with your tomatoes, your cucumber, red onion. Maybe you want to shred a little bit of carrot to add a little bit more color. Add your avocado. Place your lettuce in a large serving bowl. Top it with a chicken mixture and your croutons. And drizzle with vinaigrette mixture, toss, and serve. Easy, easy, easy. Now, what if you wanted to make a change? Use a can of black kidney beans. Drain them. Replace the chicken with that and sprinkle with a cup of shredded pepper jack cheese. Yum. Easy, fast, quick, healthy. Great way to end the show. On this beautiful summer day, wherever you are, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. It's been a pleasure being with you. And we've got good things to share with you tomorrow. See you same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. This is Donna Siebel. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.